And welcome back. It's Food News and Chews Radio. Thank you for joining us today. I am Twitch. That's Chef Jeremy Ashby. That is Sylvia Lovely. Happy Derby Day, gang.
And to you.
How's it going, dude?
Good. Oh. It's Derby Day today. How can anything be bad in the blue?
Surely it's an eating holiday, right?
I mean, we're going to turn it into one. Every day is an eating holiday.
Hey, there's five things they say you can serve that are really easy to prepare and easy to eat.
Okay.
What? Okay, so start with a mint julep, of course. Mm-hmm. How about authentic sweet tea? Do you know about that, Jeremy?
Authentic sweet tea?
Yeah.
What is a good sugar to tea ratio for sweet tea?
I've never really paid attention or had a special. I just kind of sweeten it until it tastes good.
Some of the southern restaurants will sweeten it up with peaches and stuff like that. So, you know, that kind of thing.
From what I understand, proper sweet tea, you should be able to put the spoon in it and it stands straight up.
That's kind of, yeah.
Like that's when it's sweet enough.
I love that.
But get back to the mint julep. That was the number one thing on the list, right?
Number one thing.
Does anyone really like mint juleps?
I don't think so. They just get them in those fancy glasses.
I always have one.
Do we serve very many? Yeah, everybody has one.
We actually don't serve very many at the restaurants.
How many would you estimate you serve the other 364 days a year?
Zero.
Right.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you get a guy that comes in and, you know, they're visiting Kentucky and he's sitting at the, you know, he's traveling on business. I mean, and they sit at the bar and they try to order a mint julep. I mean, even our bartender's going to be like, no. Just try the good stuff straight.
Yeah, just do the bourbon. Yeah. How about cheesy shrimp and grits?
Oh, that's good.
Love that.
You did that sometimes.
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorites.
Grits done right are a beautiful thing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, tell me about done right. Okay. I mean, first of all, we have to have stone ground grits, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They have to be, you know, from a mill and kind of coarse grain. We can't have any instant grits anywhere in a 5-mile radius of me.
They shouldn't be. Some people undercook their grits, so they're not fully absorbed.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so they're watery, but they're also kind of gritty. No, no pun. You know, they're like sand.
Mm-hmm. But you don't like that.
I don't like that. They should be tender.
What should they be? Creamy?
Creamy.
So now, Jeremy, how do you do the original ones?
The stone ground grits?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, whenever I make grits, I kind of use chicken stock. I mean, that's just free. But if you want to make them just neutral, you can use water. But we always start with about a pound of butter, literally a pound of butter. Because I'm making restaurant enough, like grits for a lot of people, right? Probably a gallon.
Right.
So a pound of butter and a whole yellow onion and just a few cloves of garlic. And we, you know, just sweat those in the butter for a very long time. They start getting translucent and that, you know, whole kitchen smelling good. I tie up a sprig of thyme. You know, not a spring, I mean kind of a little small bundle, really. My whole package, if you get it at Kroger or somewhere, you know, in those little pathetic little packages they put them in. But throw those in and then let that simmer, add the chicken stock, you know, I'd say about 4-to-1 ratio of stock to grits.
Yeah.
You want them pretty loose. I mean, grits really shouldn't stand on the plate. There's a time and place for that because I make them stiff, too, with cheese for certain fish dishes or whatever. But typically they should kind of fall into the bowl. And
like risotto.
Soupy. Yeah.
They should kind of relax.
Risotto. What's the difference in risotto and grits?
Well, risotto is a rice called arborio.
But the cooking method is kind of similar.
Very similar,
right?
I think.
So, I mean, grits are corn, right? So, you know, let's say you take corn and soak it in lye, it pops the kernel and it puffs up, and you have hominy, and you dry out hominy and grind it, and you have grits. Hominy grits. So, you know, once you get the chicken stock boiling, add the grits and simmer like on low heat for a long time. Always finish with lots of cream.
Let me ask you this, Jeremy. I know that I went with you to Charleston. Bernie and I went with you. And we went to, you cooked at Magnolia.
I did,
right?
Yes.
What were those grits? Because people were just dying to get your formula for that.
So
were
I sent
smoked, or?
I sent about 5 pounds of dry grits to Matt Jamie's place, Bourbon Barrel Foods in Louisville, which we've toured. It's an awesome facility. And we had them smoke the grits overnight with bourbon barrel staves. So the dry grits were smoked, and then we cooked those and had that sweet bourbony undertone to them.
How does that? Does the grit hold on to the smoke pretty well?
It was like the best grits you've ever had.
Really?
Oh, people were dying to get hold of them.
Yeah, it was.
Well, do they sell those?
Well, I got top 10 bites of all of Charleston Food and Wine. Yeah, so, I mean, it must have been pretty up there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so top 10 bites of food in the whole, you know, thousands of things that were there being served. So I was very proud of them, and so was Matt, because it's something we kind of collaborated on.
I think grits are the kind of thing you really have to cook the heck out of, in my mind. Because I know some people, if the box says 30 minutes, they cook in 30. No.
They really need to go low and slow for a while. And, you know, if you said some people kind of leave them a little al dente.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. I mean, there's a time and place for some of that.
Yeah, a little
more just
gritty.
For different textures. Mm. But some of the best crepes I've ever had overnight were a mistake. They weren't a mistake. My mistake, they were a mistake of another chef. And I was reading a book by Kevin Gillespie. He was on some of the shows. Anyway, actually a good buddy of mine now. And he said he calls them overnight grits. And one time he was at a catering function and did a bunch of grits. And they had them hot in pans and they put them into a cooler.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow the cooler got left, out.
Yeah.
And they sat overnight in the cooler,
that was
right?
Not good.
And he opened it up and like, oh, I thought it was going to be this spoiled mess,
yeah.
right? But they were still hot from the cooler and retention. And they had been sitting there soaking overnight. And said that just the texture was amazing because they, hot for so long.
I bet you do the same thing in a slow cooker.
Yes, you could.
You could probably put your grits in a slow cooker and do that same cook them overnight.
Right,
yeah.
So like overnight grits.
How about a warm beer and cheese dip?
Nice. Well, I mean, it's like a beer cheese. Is that what it says?
Warm beer and beer cheese.
Okay.
Because there's nothing worse than a warm.
I don't want to drink a warm beer than eat.
I don't
some
want
cheese
a warm
dip.
Beer and a slice of cheese, but warm beer cheese dip pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, do you know beer causes arrhythmia in healthy individuals? Drinking too much beer?
Really?
Yeah.
What's arrhythmia?
Your heart.
Is your
go
heart
flutter.
Oh.
And I thought it was because I was in love.
Maybe with that beer.
That's your beer goggles on.
Anyway, that's the latest in health news. Pecan pie tarts.
This is the easier things to make?
Yeah, five things.
Is that pretty tough?
Is that tough?
No, it's not hard at all. I mean, pecan pies are simple.
Unless it's
pie. Mm-hmm. Sylvia, forget the pecans.
But don't you think pecan pie is the one pie people screw up the most?
Well, you would think. Yeah.
I've had a lot of really bad pecan pies.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it can get real soupy
maybe if
or too
real
stiff.
Tiny, like you put them in the little tiny tart things.
The ones you get at the gas station, or I did when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, like the little tart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bomb.
Those
awesome.
Are delicious.
They're good.
Other than that, the best pecan pie I've had was a
the only other thing I'll say about Derby food is rose. Do you know you can eat rose petals?
I know people flavor stuff with rose, but I've never had it.
Rose water.
It's big
and,
in
the run for
Persian
the
culture and Middle Eastern.
Really?
That's, yeah, well, rose
we
water is used for a lot of things.
And all
yeah.
kinds of stuff that people can eat.
Rose vinegar.
Yeah, rose quite, water.
Yeah.
So what's got to be at a Derby Day celebration? What is the one quintessential, other than a mint julep, what's the one quintessential food you have to serve if you're throwing a Derby party?
Well, I think people do little pimento cheese sandwiches and Benedictine around here. You got to have your beaten biscuits and country ham.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, people try to, you know, pull off burgoo and thing. You know, I don't know. I think it's kind of like any other little holiday. We got a few little traditions, but
yeah.
I think it's fair game.
They have a new menu at Churchill Downs.
Okay.
And you'll find a new Italian grinder, smoked turkey, and a mint julep-inspired Derby sundae.
Nice.
And
so that's David. Is it Danielson?
Hot browns. Hot browns
there?
Are there. They're at the top of the
hot
list.
Hot browns. I don't know if there's a food more Kentucky than hot browns.
We do little hot brown bites at Dupree Catering, which we're gonna have Janie on a little bit.
Yeah,
to talk
those
about
are
those.
Good.
She's got those down. She's like a gougère, like a little puff pastry that they've hollowed out.
Listen, what you can get at Derby now. Not, you know, the one, all these people that are there. Including a wood-fired thin crust pizza topped with in-house roast turkey, bacon, and diced tomatoes scattered on a Mornay sauce. Pays homage to the hotel, Brown Hotel's legendary hot brown.
Have you ever been there to have one?
No.
I need to go and eat the original.
At the Brown Hotel?
Yeah.
To me, a hot brown is a food that I like better in bite form.
Okay. Because
I don't know, have you guys ever eaten a whole hot brown?
Every time I order one, I eat the whole thing. And then I'm miserable.
It is not meant to consume that.
No, it's not.
Much better in like single serve bite form.
Nice.
It's like your body, you're doing no one any favors.
Any kind of open face sandwich that's that gravy like, I'm a sucker for that, man. That's
hey,
good.
Last year's Burrito Barn has been renamed the Central Avenue Cantina and features fresh-made Chipotle-style pork, chicken, and vegetarian burritos.
Hmm. All right.
Mexican Burrito comes. Barn?
Yeah, the Burrito Barn.
I don't
love
know
that.
if I want like a place that houses animals also associated with you know, chopped up meat and burritos. I don't know.
Hey, maybe this is a segue into Cincinnati chili.
It depends what you put in your chili, Sylvia.
Hey, I found this article in Munchies about Cincinnati chili. 250 places and counting, I guess, serve the Cincinnati version of chili. And there's a big debate about what is chili.
Right.
And there's all kinds of debate on that. And you said you love Cincinnati chili.
I mean, I grew
it's
up
Skyline,
eating that. It's delicious.
What's the other famous ones?
Gold Star.
Yeah.
Gold Star and
those are the
Skyline.
Two major
but you eat it by the – I've never had a bowl of Cincinnati chili. I've had – it on things, but I've never eaten just a bowl of.
Oh, you mean what? Yeah, you have to put the spaghetti with it, right?
Right.
Or like Tony.
Where'd they get that cheese? The cheese is so good. It's like American cheese shredded.
It's a very special little cutter they have. A little
really?
A little feather shredder, yeah.
I could eat it. Just the cheese.
But where... Okay, so chili is like barbecue, where every region has a different barbecue.
But it's often been voted... It was voted by one outlet as the worst regional food. But then one of the outlets got a James Beard Award. So, you know, there's a... And there were people who just die by Skyline and Gold Star.
Oh, man. I mean, I
And it was little crackers.
Oh, it was great.
Oh, I love
So you know what's in the Cincinnati-style chili?
Can you break it down for us by what is regular chili and what is Cincinnati?
Well, chili is supposed to be just meat, right?
Mm-hmm. Meat and noodles.
You know, in a stew.
And chili sauce.
And now Cincinnati chili does the noodles, right? So in their chili... I've made it at home several times. My grandmother had a recipe, and it had allspice and clove and cinnamon in it, and onion, and lots of ground beef, of course. I think there was some tomato product, a little Worcestershire there. So it's kind of a different spice profile.
And sweet profile. Is what they say. It has a sweetness to it.
Yeah, the sweet spices, allspice and clove give it that kind of undertone. No, it's based on Greek spaghetti. I mean, this comes from Greece. Yeah, Greece. This is like Greek food. Hmm. It's just kind of transplanted and been recalled something else, like everything else is. But that's what Cincinnati chili really is. And you got to cook it a long time. I mean, I remember being on the stove for a good 3 or 4 hours because it starts with a lot of liquid and then slowly simmers down. But I mean, I think what it gives that Cincinnati chili its inherent different flavors is the clove and allspice.
Because it doesn't taste like if you're from anywhere else and you take a big bite of Cincinnati chili, it doesn't remind you of any other chili you've ever had.
No, it's not the same problem.
It's not like that. That's why it's almost a different animal.
I was trying to say, you know, I'm not enough of an aficionado of like Texas chili.
Right.
What are the famous chili places? Because there are like barbecue. You have North Carolina, South Carolina.
Texas is probably, like I would say, king of chili, but their chili is very specific.
Very different.
It's a bowl of red. There's no beans in it.
So what country lays claim to actual chili? Because, I mean, Cincinnati chili is Greek spaghetti, right? It came from Greece, and that's just it's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
But did chili start in Texas, or did it start in southeastern United States, or was it something that was a Brunswick stew, or something from... England
I would
or Ireland, or
started somewhere near Mexico, just because of the chilies, right?
Because we kind of like lay claim to chili here in the States, right?
But I mean, chili has to have chiles,
right?
In it. I mean, that's why it's
down in Texas. You're going to get real chilies.
Chili powder is what chili powder is.
Ground up guajillos.
Yeah,
and all that
actual chilies.
Yeah, so ground up.
It's weird, but is that actually in Cincinnati chili? Like, is there anything chili?
Chili specific.
Yeah, in Cincinnati.
Cincinnati centric.
I don't remember there being any chili powder when I made it at home.
So I think
it's two completely different things.
This is they just call it chili. It's just not.
It's the cheese.
It's
guys.
Delicious. I mean, I'll grow up eating. I love it. I love
shredded American cheese.
Now, how many? What do you like to put on yours?
What do I put on it?
Spaghetti, the chili, the whatever.
Oh, I do it on burgers.
Nice.
It's great.
You
on
put
a burger.
Chili on burgers.
Yeah, it's great on a burger.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's great. A little beer cheese and Cincinnati chili on a burger. Can't beat it.
Yeah.
So I like the onions and the cheese and the hot sauce. I don't do the beans on it though. But I mean, I like beans, but I just for some reason.
Yeah.
Didn't eat it when I was a kid that way.
You get these like these 3-way, 4-way, 5-way kind of orders.
5 ways.
That's a little personal, isn't it, Sophie? That's a little personal for the radio. No, you got to go 5-way. Go all the way.
Go all the way.
The beans.
The full Monty.
The full Monty. The beans, the spaghetti, the onions.
And then you put that on a burger.
Absolutely. And put that on a
spaghetti burger.
Good. Now, have you ever had a chili sandwich?
I want one now.
Yeah. So if you go to like Gold Star or something like that, you can just get just
chili bun. Yeah.
A chili bun.
Which
now, that's good.
Yeah, it's no hot dog.
Buns.
It's just the chili shoved into the bun with the cheese on it.
With
it's
all like, that mess. They call it a mess.
All right, why bother with the hot dog?
Oh.
You don't eat it.
Yeah.
Conies are good, though.
It is.
Oh, the conies are good. There's a little tiny one. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so, how do we get it from Kentucky Derby to Cincinnati chili?
I don't know.
Well, we segued with Mexican food being served at Derby.
And a barn.
There you go.
Yeah.
So Derby is going on today. Don't miss the big race. Make sure you have some bourbon. I have a recipe for a quick mint julep. I don't know how.
Tell us.
But mine is I think the best. You take a glass, put some ice in it, pour bourbon in, throw the mint in the garbage, drink the bourbon, and then repeat. That is the perfect mint julep recipe.
Now some people use like powdered sugar.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah,
that's what
it's too sweet. I don't like sweet mixed with liquor, but some people do.
I like the ones they have at Keeneland. I like the powdered sugar ones. I don't know if you buy it at the store, though, they put a small amount of cornstarch in your powdered sugar. I wonder if that would cloud it or kind of even thicken your mint julep.
It would be
maybe
like
a syrupy kind of consistency. Or can you buy powdered sugar without that caking agent?
Hey, this is where you can use all the mint that's grown in the Azure.
No
blue
kidding,
bin.
Man. I mean,
somebody goes out there in the restaurant. You're sitting on that patio, and they pull some of that mint.
Oh yeah.
It just fills the air with that fragrance.
Yeah.
I mean, it is pungent.
What else can you? What else do you do with fresh mint other than put it in?
I mean, you can't kill it, man.
They come out and get it all the time. They come out and get it.
We have basil up there and oregano and all these other herbs. No, mint just killed everything else, and now it's back every year.
Maybe
we use like a sprig.
Well, Molly was making a beeline for the mint the other day, so I don't know what she was serving.
Tear it up.
Maybe it's because I drink too much, but I don't know what else to do with mint, fresh mint, other than put it in a mint julep. Is there anything else you do with it? Cooking-wise,
well,
culinary?
Maybe
culinary,
as a garnish, not something on I use cheesecake much. Or something?
Yeah,
Greek food.
Greek
you know,
food will use it.
There are a lot of herb blends I use it in. You know, like there's a lot of finishes.
I can make a tea out of it. I know you can make tea with it, and that's supposed to be
Jeremy,
really good for you.
When will there be some more stuff at the farmer's market? When will it start coming in?
Well, you know, we're still kind of in the early greens season right now. There's not going to be a whole lot of substantial produce, but, you know, Babette was on last week.
Yeah.
She's got a pretty substantial greenhouse.
Oh, gosh.
She was rumored to have tomatoes.
I haven't killed those things yet. I have not killed those
Mine
plants.
Are still alive. She gave us some.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the name of the plant.
Clodiums, clodium, blah, blah, blah.
Mine are still outside.
Sounds like venereal disease or something. I'm just getting kind of dirty today.
I don't want to ask
what
why
you get
you know.
For eating five ways.
But at the farmer's market, Bluegrass Farmer's Market, it's outside of Zur every Saturday. It's going on, I guess, right now, actually.
Right.
So you can head out there. And
a lot of spinach, a lot of greens.
Spinach, green.
Starting to see a little bit of spring onions.
What's the...
Strawberries are in.
No, what's the Eastern Kentucky?
Ramps.
Yeah.
Not going to see those at the farmer's market, I bet.
Oh, really?
I'd say they're all gone by now. I mean, chefs are...
You
serve kind of like you put on your dukes and... Well, I got 5 pounds this year.
Did you?
That was a good score. That was about all I could get.
What are you doing with
5 pounds? And they weren't like the best quality either, because I like the ones that are like big bulbs, and these are like little skinny, like pencil things. They didn't have any meat.
Skinny ramps.
What can you do with a skinny ramp?
I mean, ramps are. I mean, I love them. A lot of people are taking them and doing a preservation or pickle with it, make them last all year for garnishes on dishes. Some people are making kimchi, which I don't know. They're too expensive for me to go and make a big batch of kimchi with. I just think that's a waste of a lot of ramp. But, you know, certain pickled rice are great. And, I mean, I usually just chop them up for sautés, potatoes.
Just eat them straight.
I love them, yeah. But they'll make your breath stink, man.
Really?
Like bad. Like, don't go around anybody.
Ramps?
Yeah, bad.
I know that.
Like,
it's like,
well, I'll remember that.
Garlic times 10.
In a moment, we're going to talk about some catering with folks at the pre-catering.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have a party coming up, an event coming up, something going on. I mean, obviously, it's a little too late for Derby Day today.
Yeah, but she's got some Derby stuff, man.
And we'll talk about Derby.
Some leftovers, maybe.
And we'll get some food news, and I have a little factoid for you. We'll do it all next, so don't go anywhere. This is Food News and Chews Radio.
This is Food News and Chews for Azure Restaurant and Patio, and I'm about to make you very hungry. To make one of Azure's signature dishes, we take fresh cold water lobster and mix it with lots of squeezed lemon juice, triple cream cheese, and a pile of fresh sliced scallions. We cook this mixture delicately in a light, fluffy crepe shell until slightly golden brown on the outside, but still soft, delicate, and warm on the inside. We finish the dish with a sweet and tangy tropical guava sauce made from the ripest South American fruit. Guava has hints of apple, strawberry, and pear flavors. Imagine tasting that combination. I apologize if I made you hungry, but you have to try this award-winning dish. Stop by Azure Restaurant and Patio in the Beaumont Center, and I'll make it up to you with some of the freshest flavors you've ever experienced. While we definitely have worldly inspired cuisine, I guarantee you there's nothing like the local flavors of Kentucky-raised products, which are the guiding light of Azure's menu. Azure Restaurant and Patio is located at 3070 Lakecrest Circle in Beaumont Center off of Harrodsburg Road. Check out www.azurerestaurant.com for special events like our Saturday Bluegrass Farmers Market or our Sunday Suppers. Open 6 days a week for lunch and every day for dinner.
Food News and Chews here for Brasabana Restaurant, featuring Cuban cuisine with a Caribbean flair. Chef Miguel Rivas, hailing from the Dominican Republic, will provide you with an exceptional and unique cuisine. Come try plantain chips to start, followed by a Brasabana signature dish, the award-winning Cuban sandwich, yummy. And don't forget Brasabucks, $1 for every $10 you spend, and double Brasabucks on Mondays. Come see us at 841 Lane Allen or at Brasabana.com or Facebook for updates and information.
Why cans? Because we can't serve it from the barrel. Introducing Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale in a can. Pairing perfectly with your fall tailgate, this is a new look for an old favorite. The same great flavor of Kentucky bourbon is imparted on this Irish red ale by aging it in freshly decanted bourbon barrels for at least 6 weeks. Rediscover the beer of bourbon country and pack up a six-pack of Kentucky bourbon barrel ale cans today. Just look for the hand-sized barrels at your local package store. Visit KentuckyIle.com for more details.
When you're transferring to a new college, some of your old credits make the cut, and some don't. Get the credits you deserve with Sullivan University's free credit transfer review. The Sullivan team works with you to avoid unpleasant surprises and to help you make the most of credits from other schools. It's just one more reason to choose Sullivan University. See them all at sullivan.edu.
Interested in what to drink in the bluegrass? Edible Magazine has all the information you need to make an informed cocktail decision. The April-May issue in stores the first week of April talks beverages. Steve Coombs has an in-depth article on the bourbon industry, cocktail culture, old guard and new guard distillers, and bourbon is changing the worldview of Kentucky. Jeremy?
Breweries are exploding in Kentucky. West 6th Street Brewery and Farm are featured along with other places to grab a brew in Lexington and Louisville. And for the non-alcoholic drinkers among us, a surprising number of coffee roasters are on the scene. Get the scoop on where to have your next cup of joe. All this and more in the April-May issue of Edible. Contact Norma Taylor at 859-619-2774 for more information. This is Food News and Chews for Azura Restaurant and Patio, and I'm about to make you very hungry. To make one of Azura's signature dishes, we take fresh cold water lobster and mix it with lots of squeezed lemon juice, triple cream cheese, and a pile of fresh sliced scallions. We cook this mixture delicately in a light, fluffy crepe shell until slightly golden brown on the outside, but still soft, delicate, and warm on the inside. We finish the dish with a sweet and tangy tropical guava sauce made from the ripest South American fruit. Guava has hints of apple, strawberry, and pear flavors. Imagine tasting that combination. I apologize if I made you hungry, but you have to try this award-winning dish. Stop by Azura Restaurant and Patio in the Beaumont Center, and I'll make it up to you with some of the freshest flavors you've ever experienced. While we definitely have worldly inspired cuisine, I guarantee you there's nothing like the local flavors of Kentucky-raised products, which are the guiding light of Azura's menu. Azura Restaurant and Patio is located at 3070 Lakecrest Circle in Beaumont Center off of Harrisburg Road. Check out www.azurarestaurant.com for special events like our Saturday Bluegrass Farmers Market or our Sunday Suppers. Open 6 days a week for lunch and every day for dinner.
Food News and Chews here for Brasabana Restaurant, featuring Cuban cuisine with a Caribbean flair. Chef Miguel Rivas, hailing from the Dominican Republic, will provide you with an exceptional and unique cuisine. Come try plantain chips to start. Followed by a Brasabana signature dish, the award-winning Cuban sandwich, yummy. And don't forget Brasabucks, $1 for every $10 you spend, and double Brasabucks on Mondays. Come see us at 841 Lane Allen or at Brasabana.com or Facebook for updates and information.
Why cans? Because we can't serve it from the barrel. Introducing Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale in a can. Pairing perfectly with your fall tailgate, this is a new look for an old favorite. The same great flavor of Kentucky bourbon is imparted on this Irish red ale by aging it in freshly decanted bourbon barrels for at least 6 weeks. Rediscover the beer of bourbon country and pack up a six-pack of Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale cans today. Just look for the hand-sized barrels at your local package store. Visit KentuckyIle.com for more details.